Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Let us now hear the word of God. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you for your life-giving truth. And we pray that you might breathe new and fresh spiritual life into our hearts tonight. Please encourage us with your word. Grant us understanding that we might grasp its meaning and see its application to our own hearts and lives. We pray, Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open up the scriptures to us and cause our hearts to burn within us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How can a sinner be righteous before God? How can a sinful human being be made right with God? The answer to those questions, those two questions, is found in the biblical teaching on justification. Justification speaks to how we get to a place as a sinner that we are declared righteous before God, that we are made right with God. Now, if you wanted to turn to some place in the Bible to think about Scripture's doctrine of justification, that just means it's teaching on how we're made right with God, how a sinner can be declared righteous before God. You might be tempted to think, well, we should just turn to the New Testament. That's where the doctrine of justification by faith is taught. That would be true, but we should also remember that the roots of that New Testament teaching, that we are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, is right there in the Old Testament. That the teaching that we find, for example, in the Apostle Paul in the New Testament about justification is teaching that is rooted in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at one of those passages tonight where we see that doctrine of justification in the Old Testament, and that's Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. We are thinking about this one verse because it is central to the entire book, and it is so important to the book and to the Bible itself. We started off by thinking about the proud man. Verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. This is a description of the proud person, which in the historical context of Habakkuk would be the Babylonian, right? Would be the Chaldean, who is self-sufficient, arrogant, and proud of himself. He relies on himself. He relies on his strength, his prowess in battle, military strategy, all those sorts of things. But that is not how the people of God live. The people of God, that is to say, the just shall live by his faith. And so last time, we thought about that in terms of what Habakkuk is wrestling with here. Habakkuk is wrestling with understanding why God is doing what he's doing, why God is not intervening in the way that he thinks he ought to intervene, why God is using the methods that he is using in all of this. And so Habakkuk is struggling, and the Lord says to him, the just man, the righteous person, lives by his faith. He lives by his trust and reliance on the Lord. So that's what we thought about last time. Now this week, we want to turn our attention to the New Testament's use of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 so that we understand the full and complete meaning of what we have here in this one wonderful verse. There are three passages in the New Testament that quote or cite Habakkuk 2:4, and we want to deal with each one of these in turn. We'll try to cover the first two tonight, but if I get on a sidetrack or a detour, or go off on a rabbit trail, we might leave one of those for next week. The final one, to next week or the week after. And those three passages are Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. So here we want to look to see how the New Testament authors look back upon Habakkuk 2:4, what they tell us it means, and how they use these texts. Now, let me just briefly say that from time to time, you might hear someone say that the authors of the New Testament misinterpreted or misapplied the Old Testament. Or if they are being less bold than that, they might say that the authors of the New Testament are using the Old Testament in a way that's different from its original meaning, or that they are finding meanings in it that are not there originally or historically. What should we say to that? We should say to that, God forbid. The apostles and the authors of the New Testament were inspired by God to write down the Word of God, and whatever they say about the Old Testament is accurate and true and right. In fact, if you want to really understand the Old Testament, you can't do it without the New Testament. You have to have your New Testament glasses on if you are going to understand the full and complete meaning of any given Old Testament text. Okay, so that's why we're doing what we're doing, because the apostles and others in the New Testament help us to understand what is really there in Habakkuk 2:4. They're going to bring out for us the full and complete sense and meaning of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. So the first place that we're going to go is Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. So let's turn from Habakkuk 2 to Romans chapter 1. Of course, Romans chapter 1 is the opening statement in this great letter from Paul to the church at Rome, in which Paul is going to lay out the gospel and all that it means. And so in Romans chapter 1, he is laying the foundation for what he is going to teach them or what he's giving them here. And it's in Romans 1:17 that you see the Apostle Paul quotes Habakkuk 2:4. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, so that's what we want to think about first. But let's back up just a little bit to give ourselves some context here. Let's go back to verse 15. In verse 15, Paul says, "So much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." What Paul wants to do is he wants to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He's going to do it in writing. He wants to do it in person, which is interesting right off the bat, right? He's already writing to Christians. He's writing to the church. Now, these are people who have heard the gospel and have believed it and received it. But Paul wants to give them a full exposition of that good news of salvation in Jesus Christ and all that it involves. And that's what the book of Romans is. Verse 16 now, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Now here the Apostle Paul asserts that the gospel is God's power to save sinners, both Jew and Greek. As he says there at the end of the verse, "for the Jew first and also for the Greek." But I want you to notice that it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's our first connection back to Habakkuk 2:4. How does the just live? The just lives by his what? His faith. Okay, so you see the apostle talking about faith here. Now verse 17. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed." In what? In the gospel. That's where God's righteousness is revealed, is in the gospel message about Jesus Christ. "From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now notice, we noticed belief or faith in verse 16 and in verse 17. Notice the word righteousness. What is it that's revealed in the gospel according to Paul? It is this. It is righteousness. Now when we talk about justification, we're talking about how a sinner is declared righteous before God. So righteousness and justification go hand in hand, of course, and that's what we're working with here. Now you can see, just from these two words, you can see an initial connection back to Habakkuk, right? Remember, the just shall live by his faith. What's another word for just? Righteous. Yeah, the righteous one lives by his faith. So you see Paul using the same words and the same language, the same concepts. Here he's talking about faith and righteousness, and he is going to lay out in the book of Romans the doctrine of salvation, of justification, by faith alone, apart from and without the works of the law. And right here at the start of it, he quotes Habakkuk 2:4. Where is he getting this from? Well, the Apostle Paul didn't invent this. He didn't come up with it. This wasn't a new doctrine that man is made right with God through faith and not through works. And we know that because Paul here quotes Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, what does all of that mean? So let's continue on here in Romans, and let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, where Paul will explain a little bit more what he's talking about with righteousness and faith. Paul had mentioned in verse 17 of chapter 1, the righteousness of God. And now in chapter 3, beginning at verse 21, he's going to come back to this idea of the righteousness of God. He says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference." What is Paul talking about? He's talking about the righteousness of God being bestowed on sinners through faith in Jesus Christ. So when Paul talks about the righteousness of God, he's talking about a status, a standing that God gives to those who believe in Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus, God bestows on you the gift of His righteousness. And now you stand righteous before God. And the key thing is that Paul teaches us that this comes through faith. Faith is the instrument by which we receive God's righteousness as a gift, as opposed to works. Now, to the Jew that Paul is often talking to in the synagogue, he thinks this is how he becomes righteous. He does so through his own works, through his own obedience to the law. He's trying to obey God's law, and he thinks that in that way, he'll be made right with God, and he'll stand righteous before God. But the Apostle Paul says that is not how someone is made right with God. It is by faith, and by faith alone, apart from the works of the law, or without the works of the law. I hope you can see the connection. In Habakkuk 2:4, the Lord told the prophet, "The just shall live by his faith." And here in Romans, the Apostle Paul cites that very text to tell us that how we become righteous, how we get to this place or this status of righteousness is how. It's through faith. It's not through our works. It's not through our obedience. The just man in Habakkuk lived by faith. He trusted in God and relied on God, right? Not upon himself. Well, Paul is teaching us the same thing in terms of how we receive salvation, how we are made right with God. We do it not through our own works, but through faith. There's the connection, that connection of righteousness and faith. Now let's look at the next use of Habakkuk 2:4 in the New Testament. This is in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Now, the Apostle Paul here is dealing with the same basic set of issues, and that is, how are we made right with God? How is someone justified? Or we might even say, how is someone saved? How is someone saved and made to stand righteous before God? Now, to give you a little bit of background and remind you what's going on here in Galatians, the Apostle Paul had gone into this area, this region of Galatia. He had preached the gospel. People had accepted it. Churches were formed and started, and then after Paul had left, people, Judaizers we call them, had come into those churches and had taught them that they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. They had to keep the law in order to be saved. And the Apostle Paul writes this letter to correct that heresy that we are made right with God through the keeping of the law. Now, why is it that we can't be made right with God through law keeping or through our own efforts at obedience? Well, Paul tells us in verse 10 here, chapter 3, verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Okay, what did Paul just tell us there? Paul just told us that everyone who is under the law is under a curse. Why is that? It's because to be under the law is to be under the requirement of let's put them up here like this. If you're under this one, what does God require of you? He requires absolute, complete, and total perfection. And is that possible for any of us? No. Now, most people think, well, God just wants me to do my best and He'll accept that. But that's not how it works, because the law requires absolute perfection. How many times did Adam and Eve have to sin? Just one, right? Just one time. And the curse fell upon them. So the Apostle Paul says we cannot be justified by the law, because no one can do that, because no one can meet the standard of the law. And so Habakkuk 2:4 was never teaching that we are justified by God through our own faithfulness or obedience, because it wasn't true back then, and it's not true today. It's not true in Habakkuk's day, and it's not true in Paul's day, and it's not true in our own day. No one can be made right with God through keeping the law, because the law requires perfect obedience. Instead, we must be under grace, God's unmerited favor. Now, it's not that God has given up His requirement of perfection, right? Did God lower His standard in order to save you? No. No. Who met the standard of perfection? Christ did, right? Jesus did. He was sinless, and He met all the demands of the law perfectly on your behalf, so that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're under God's grace, and all those requirements of the law are fulfilled. They're all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so Paul now goes on in verse 11 to say, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So there's his citation of Habakkuk 2:4 yet again. So Paul says it's evident that no one can be justified, made right with God through his own works, through his own law keeping. Why? Because of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. This is the doctrine of justification. And we say the doctrine of justification by, let's have some more Latin, shall we? Sola fide. What's that mean? Faith alone, right? Fide is the Latin word for faith. Sola, the Latin word for alone or only. Yeah, faith alone. This was one of the primary principles of the Protestant Reformation, that the gospel, the scriptures teach, Old Testament and New, that we are saved through the instrument of faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith is alone. Now, the Roman Catholic Church does not discard faith, okay? So the Roman Catholic Church would say, well, sure, you need faith. We want to get to this, right? To justification. So if we went to Rome, Rome would say, well, sure, you need faith. But you also have to have something else. You've got to have works. And this plus this equals that. But we believe, the scriptures teach, that it is faith alone. That's the key word. So the issue at the time of the Protestant Reformation was not this. It wasn't that word. It was that word right there. Because that word or that phrase indicates that it is apart from any works of our own, apart from anything we do, any obedience we can render to God. We don't add works to faith and come up with justification. We receive this righteousness from God, this gift of righteousness, through faith alone. It's something we cannot mix works with. It has to be received by reliance on God and trust in Him alone and in the work of Jesus Christ and what He has done on our behalf. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Philippians 3. I'll just read this one to you. He says, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him," here we go, "not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." That's what we need. And how we receive that righteousness as a gift from God is by faith. We receive it through faith alone. Now, unfortunately, this is not the way most people think about it. Most people think there's my stick man. Don't think poorly of me because of my drawings, okay? How to get here? How to get to this place? And we have to get there. To some people, this word sounds like too much. They want to say, what word do they want to replace that with? Good. Yeah. They want to say good. But according to God, these two things are essentially synonymous, right? Okay, so how do we get to the place of righteousness? If you ask most people, and maybe, unfortunately, if you ask a lot of churchgoers, how would they say they get to be righteous before God? They would probably start doing what? They'd probably start listing out things that they do or have done. So they go to church. They pray. They give to charity. They don't rob banks. Or whatever, right? And how they think is, well, this plus this plus this plus that is pretty good. And so therefore, God should let me into heaven, or God should accept me. But that's not how it works. Because all of these things are what? They're tainted by sin, are they not? Are they truly good in God's eyes according to His standard? No, not perfectly. So none of us can achieve the status of righteousness. It must be by faith alone in Jesus Christ and His work alone, and it received as a gift. So God confers this status on the one not who works, but the one who believes. Believes what? Believes in Jesus and His work of salvation. And when we put our trust, our faith, in Jesus, this status of righteousness is given to us because the very righteousness of Jesus is imputed to our account. It's credited to our account. So that now we stand righteous before God. And you see Paul teach that in Romans. You see him teach it in Galatians. Where did he get it from? He didn't invent it. He goes all the way back to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "The just shall live by his faith," teaches us that the righteous man lives by his faith, his trust in God, his reliance not on himself, but upon God. And the Apostle Paul teaches us that's how we receive salvation. That's how we receive justification. It is by faith alone and apart from any works of our own. Now let's look at one more illustration of this. Back in Habakkuk chapter 2, we had a contrast between the proud and the righteous. Right? Habakkuk 2 and verse 4 again. Behold the proud, yes, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You see the contrast between the first half of the verse and the second half? Let's think about justification in terms of pride versus faith. We've got a contrast between these two things in this verse, and that same contrast is found in the New Testament as well. How does the proud man think he's going to stand before God? How does the Babylonian conduct his life? He conducts his life in reliance upon whom? Himself, right? He trusts in self and what he does. The righteous man trusts in God. His reliance and faith is in the Lord. Now, we ought to take that concept, that very same concept, and go right to the New Testament with it and see who is the proud person in the New Testament who relies upon himself in justification. For example, it's the Pharisee, right? Who is the righteous one who relies upon God alone for justification? It is the sinner. Now, to the first century Jew and the first century Pharisee, that's crazy. Obviously, according to them, the Pharisee is the righteous one. And how would he know that he's righteous? He's going to do what for you? He's going to list out his accomplishments, right? He's going to tell you, I do this, I do this, I do that, I do this other thing, and therefore, I'm righteous. What does the sinner do instead? The sinner who looks in faith to the Lord alone, he is the one who admits that he is a sinner and he lacks that righteousness and he needs it from God. It is that one that is justified. So in closing tonight, let's look at this in the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 18. So turn over to Luke chapter 18 and beginning at verse 9. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You see that? Who were they trusting in? Now, if you'd asked them, they probably would have said, well, I'm trusting in the Lord. My faith is in the Lord God of Israel. But in reality, their trust was in themselves, and they thought that they were what? Righteous. That's what they thought about themselves. Verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, verse 13. Okay, let's stop and think about the Pharisee for just a moment. What did he just do? He just listed out his accomplishments, right? He just told you, or he told God, how he was righteous. And what's he not doing? He's not relying on the Lord for righteousness. He's relying on himself. It's something he achieves. It's a status he gets to in his own effort or his own performance. Do you not see that temptation in your own heart? To try and achieve on your own what only God can give as a gift. Now, I dare say that there's many a churchgoer who would think and talk exactly like this Pharisee. This is how they think about things. They think my standing before God is based on me and what I do. Therefore, let me list out all my accomplishments in terms of righteousness. But that, the Pharisee, he's the proud one. He's the proud man of Habakkuk 2:4, right? He's the proud one whose soul is not upright in him. Now, the Pharisee would be angry at being compared to a Babylonian, right? He probably wouldn't appreciate that. But in essence, at the root of it, the Pharisee is the same as the Babylonian. The Babylonian trusts in himself, his own strength. And what does the Pharisee do? He also trusts in himself and his own deeds, his own righteousness. All right, I read too far, but let's go back. Verse 13, let's see the tax collector, how he's different. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here is someone who realizes he has no righteousness of his own. It's not something he possesses. All he can do is beat his breast and say, God, have mercy on me. because he knows who he is. He knows that he is a sinner and he needs God's mercy. That is a humble attitude, and it is an attitude of faith, right? That he is looking to God for this mercy. Now let's see Jesus' conclusion. Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house, what? Justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Who received justification? It wasn't the Pharisee through his own works. It was the tax collector who recognized his sin and his lack of righteousness, and he looked to God for mercy. And that's what we do when we believe the gospel, right? We put our faith in Jesus Christ and his work and what he has done on the cross and in his resurrection, and we receive salvation as a gift. We receive that status of righteousness as a gift. And so now I stand and you stand before God righteous. But you say, but Pastor Nick, I haven't done very well this week. I didn't pray like I should. I had sinful thoughts. I spoke, unkindly to my wife, or so on and so forth. Right? And we tend to think, again, in terms of our performance, how well we did this past week or this past year or in our lives spiritually, but that's not how you're made right with God. You stand right, righteous before God by virtue of Jesus Christ. And how do we get a hold of Jesus' righteousness? We get a hold of it through faith. Through faith alone, not through our own works or effort or obedience. Faith is that instrument by which we receive and lay hold of the righteousness of God, and we receive it as a gift. I hope you see the difference here in this story that Jesus tells in Luke 18 between two people, two very different people, the proud person who relies on himself and the humble one who looks to God in faith. The one is justified and the other is not. So here in this parable, in Romans 1, in Galatians 3, and going all the way back to Habakkuk chapter 2, the just lives by his faith, not through his own efforts at obedience to God's law. He receives that status of righteousness by faith alone.